Welcome to Talking Tech. I'm Stephen Jolly. On the line, Vision Australia Senior Adaptive Technology Consultant, David Woodbridge. David, it's a bit of a sad day today, isn't it? The demise of Windows XP?
That's correct. Now, it's officially the 8th of April 2014 that Windows XP will be turned off for official technical support by Microsoft. But I'm assuming that's April the 8th US time, which practically speaking is actually tomorrow our time. But what it means is that after 12 years, Microsoft Windows XP is no longer technically supported by Microsoft, which at the end of the day means that if you keep using it, particularly on the internet, you're going to leave yourself open to security privacy issues, so that if you do online banking or you do anything else online, such as, you know, click or hit enter on the mysterious link in an email, your chances of getting malware viruses are going to reasonably skyrocket over the next months, because as everybody knows, nice people that are called black or ratbag hackers will try and attempt to break into a system. So it's a time for people to have a really serious think about what they're going to be doing with their Windows XP machine. So it's not that the machine will stop working. It's the fact that it's no longer to be security patched or updated. And if you had to reinstall your Windows XP machine at all, there's no Windows XP server anymore that you can update with after the cutoff date, which means if you update it, you'd be going back to the plain Windows XP that would be on that CD that you install. And you certainly wouldn't have any of the updated patches or anything else. So, like I said, it's a really good time to have a think. And what Vision Australia recommends is that you basically upgrade.
Now, just before you explain that, there is another insidious little influence that is coming into play more and more if people continue to stay with XP, isn't it? And that is that more and more upgraded software applications won't work or won't work so well under XP?
That's exactly right, and that's both for software and hardware. So the longer you leave it, the more risk you are of your favourite application that's being updated all the time or your drivers that have been updated all the time won't eventually work. So unfortunately, after 12 years, which is a long time to support an operating system, it really has come to the end of its life and it's time to look at it. And look, if you used a Windows XP computer off the internet, you just used it for, I don't know, playing games or something like that, perfectly fine. But as soon as you log on to the World Wide Web, the internet, that's where you're leaving yourself vulnerable. If you want to, and we'll get on to upgrading and so on in a minute, if you want to stay with Windows XP and you want to make sure that you're safe, we recommend that you purchase a internet security program that protects you against malware and antiviruses. Do not buy a free one, because that's going to leave you vulnerable still. And the one that Vision Australia recommends is called Viper, as in V-I-B-R-E. Sorry, V-I-P-R-E, not Viper. Viper Internet Security. Now, if you stick that into a Google search, what you'll end up with is a website such as viperantivirus.com. So what you want to look for is Viper Internet Security, and you can pay $99 for a lifetime plan, and that will protect you against malware and viruses. But at the end of the day, it's still important that people really, really should upgrade.
If you're a screen reader user, I do commend Viper to you. I migrated to it a few years ago. Prior to that, funny things had happened with my system and I couldn't quite work out why, and it turns out it was because of the previous anti-spyware stuff that I'd been using, or malware and virus protection software that I was using previously. So it works very well with the screen reader too, and they don't all do that, so it's worth knowing.
No, it does. And look, unfortunately, people that have got old machines, Microsoft on their end of XP website page, on their web main Microsoft page, recommends that you can upgrade to Windows 7 or Windows 8 or 8.1 on your existing hardware. Unfortunately, if you don't if you have less than 4 gigabytes of RAM, so your memory in your machine, it's not going to work properly with your adaptive technology, either your screen reading, such as JAWS, or your screen magnification, such as Zoom Text or Magic. So if you've only got 1 gig of memory or RAM, then at the end of the day, it's going to be a lot cheaper and a lot safer to go out and buy a new desktop Windows 8.1 machine or a new laptop machine and be done with it.
You have no qualms about people going to Windows 8.1?
No. And look, I've actually got Windows 8.1 on my desk, and I must say I'm fairly happy with it. The only issue is that you will need to learn how to navigate the new system, because you're going from an old interface, Windows XP, to the new 8.1. And it is going to be different. There is a learning involved. Your older adaptive technology software may not work. So, for example, JAWS 4.51, which was for Windows XP originally, that's definitely not going to work with Windows 8. So you will need to upgrade, or you might just need to change your screen reader. So if you don't want to pay a JAWS upgrade, either use the JAWS demo, which runs for 40 minutes at a time, or go off and get the free non-visual desktop access, NVDA, or of course, if you're using Office 2010 or 2013, you can get Window Eyes for Office and use the free full-functional commercial screen reader from GW Micro.
Okay, any more on the Windows environment before we move on to some very exciting Apple stuff?
I would say that if you've got any queries, please feel free to give us a ring on the Adaptive Technology Help Desk at Vision Australia. So ring up the 1-300-847-466 number, ask to speak to the Adaptive Technology Help Desk, and we can have a chat to you. And all the scaremongers out there that talk about the fact that, oh, well, look, you know, this is the time to change operating systems such as Linux or the Mac, there's absolutely no reason to do that. If you're a Windows user, upgrading to Windows is a much better plan, because you will still be used to the overall concept of Microsoft Windows. So when in doubt, please give us a ring and we can talk about your upgrade path and what sort of machines and how much it will cost, etc.
Lucky you didn't try to ring David last week, because he wasn't in the office a lot of the time. You were at Vision 2014. Tell us about it.
I was. Now, I was on the iHouse stand, which, of course, being an I word, obviously comes from Apple. And basically, the iHouse was a put-together little house. So it had, if you can imagine, a big square with four quadrants in it, so four little rooms, about five metres by 5 metres each square. And we had a lounge room, a bedroom, a kitchen, and a bathroom.
This was all at the Vision 2014 Low Vision, International Low Vision Conference that was taking place in Melbourne, we should explain to people. And there were quite a number of people there. So it was well worth Apple setting itself up with a bit of space, along with other providers. But the iHouse was very interesting.
It was, and it was also very popular. So people could come in, and we had a little stand that you put the iPad on called the Belkin Stage tablet stand. And using an app called Vision Assist, you could put the document or your mail that you wanted to read on the stand. And of course, you had the camera of the iPad above it running Vision Assist. And you could look at it in large print, or you could just put it off to the AirPlay on the big television screen in the lounge room. Or if you had OCR, so print to text, with the Prismo app, you could use that for doing optical character recognition, because, again, the stand was holding the iPad at the right level for the camera to do proper OCR. So that was very cool. We had audio speakers called AirPlay speakers in each room, so people got to play the different music zones off the different iPads and iPhones in each room. That was very nice. The really cool thing, which I thought was quite odd, but then I thought about it and it's useful, there was a thing called the flower parrot. And basically, it's a little probe that you put in the ground that monitors soil temperature and moisture level, and also the humidity and the temperature of the air around it, so you can monitor your plants via Bluetooth.
Yes,
so
well,
thought that was fairly spectacular.
We all find our particular interests and applications with Apple Apple stuff.
That's right.
Tell us about some of the other interesting stuff you saw.
The other thing I saw was three Bluetooth enabled devices, which were the blood pressure monitor, the scales for, of course, weighing yourself, and also a thing called the Fitbit Fitbit Flex, sorry. And basically that is a little thing that you wear on your wrist, and I actually bought one of them, that actually monitors how many calories you're burning up when you're exercising, how far you've walked, how many steps, all that sort of cool stuff, how much you've drunk, how restless you are at nighttime when you're sleeping, and it's water resistant and you wear it on your wrist. So that was quite popular. The blood pressure one, it depends on how you actually set it up and wear it. And we kept saying to people, look, this is not a medical a medical device as such. It's a way of gauging roughly what your blood pressure is like, and of course the scales. But because the iOS and the iPad, sorry, I keep saying iOS for devices, because the iPhone, iPod Touch and iPad have built-in accessibility with the large print or speech output, then you could read what the results were for the blood pressure monitor, the scales, and of course the Fitbit, the Fitbit Flex, a tongue-tied today. And the final cool thing that I'll talk about, we had a big print, a clock running on an iPad called Big Clock. And it was funny because that caught the attention of most people. They just loved the fact that they could look at the big iPad screen and see this large clock. And of course, we had the LookTel Money Reader app also running in the bedroom, where you could actually check your denomination of your paper notes. And I should say to people, and we said this to people at the conference, if your country's paper notes are not in the app and are not recognized, you can definitely email or contact the developer and they will add that currency to the application. It's not the fact that the phone doesn't recognize it, it's the fact that those images are not in the app.
Yep, they're so not in the tables. Cool.
Correct. They're not in the tables built into the application.
Yeah. Now, there was a very interesting little device in the kitchen too, a probe that talks.
There was, and that was called the iGrill, which is basically for monitoring the temperature of your meat, so that if you need to make sure that your roast, whatever it is, needs to be at a certain temperature, then you can monitor that probe that's inside the oven monitoring the meat cooking. And, of course, as of all the other Bluetooth devices, you can monitor it on your iPad, iPhone or iPod Touch. That's also very cool as well.
So that was all at the Apple iHouse at Vision 2014. And on your way back to Sydney, you had a bit of excitement and you got about 90 seconds to tell us about it.
I did. And basically, it was the fact that all the 767 Qantas flights now have iPads, and those iPads are fully accessible with VoiceOver. So you can choose to watch movies, TV shows, radios, listen to the music, all done by speech output, completely accessible. And sadly, I said on the internet, it brought tears to my eyes, which I'm getting quietly stirred about now, but an absolutely brilliant thing. And I should mention in finishing, the Virgin Australia app that you can use for Virgin Australia in-flight entertainment systems is also 100% accessible.
So when you say 100% accessible, you can actually get yourself seated get organised and find your way around these devices and the different activities that are on them. Works smoothly, does it?
That's right. Correct. So the app that's running on your iPhone from Virgin Australia is fully accessible, so you can watch all the movies and TV shows broadcast inside the plane on the entertainment system, and exactly the same thing for the iPad. So I was able to listen to or watch a movie, a couple TV shows. I went to Kids Corner, which had ABC3 and Disney Channel, all completely done with my headphones plugged into my iPad, or the Virgin Australia one plugged into your iPhone, all done via VoiceOver speech output. Absolutely fantastic.
Mm. Yes, well, it's good to see that those things are there, and that's the Apple way, and it's becoming more and more reality, isn't it?
It is. Now, I should remind people that for the iPad running the app, the way, of course, to turn VoiceOver on is to press the home button 3 times, turns VoiceOver on, and off you go. And I should say, to be nice to other people using the iPad, when you're finished and get off the aircraft and the airflight entertainment system's turned off, just press that home button 3 times to turn VoiceOver off, which means the next passenger doesn't need to worry about the fact that the iPad's not working properly, so to speak, because it's using VoiceOver.
And with the mind pondering all that confusion, it's probably time for us to finish, because it would cause a lot of confusion. That's Talking Tech. I've been speaking with Vision Australia's Senior Adaptive Technology Consultant, David Woodbridge. I'm Stephen Jolly. We'll talk again next week, David.
Sure.